From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 12th day of February, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Happy birthday to my lovely bride, Claire Ann. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at GlobalComResearch.com out of Atchison, Kansas. And we'll get an update of the agricultural weather forecast from the Western Hemisphere, including what's been happening in North and South America. That with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today at $5.38¾ a bushel, down 2¼. The May at $5.36½, 3¼ lower. And December futures at $4.48¾ on a fine Friday afternoon, down 3¾ cents. March soybeans, $13.72, up 4½. The May at $13.71¼, 4½ higher. In November, new crop down $0.01¼. At $11.73, the bean meal at $4.27.20, down $1.70 for the afternoon. The bean oil in the lead at $46.04, up 41 cents. Wheat futures, soft bread, up 3¼ in the lead. March at $6.36¾. The hard red at $6.16¾, 5¾ cents higher. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $125.17½, $2.05 higher for the day for the April. Feeders at $140.85 for 100 pounds, $1.70 higher, and lean hogs finished 95 cents higher at $85.20. Crude oil futures at around $59.53 a barrel, up $1.29. The U.S. Diesel fuel or heating oil at $1.77¼ is 2¾ cents higher. Gasoline on the wholesale price at $1.69¼. That's the RBOB, up 4½ cents. And natural gas at $2.91¼, 4¾ cents higher. Crude oil, the ethanol futures at $1.69 are unchanged on the day. Mike Zuzula, GlobalComResearch.com, now joins us out of Atchison, Kansas. Boy, Mike, I feel for you out there. It's just unbelievable cold in your part of the world.
Yeah, I talked to a cattleman in central Nebraska who has more snow than us right now, and he did not go to bed after midnight last night. He's about halfway through calving and had dropped about 45 calves, and he was talking to a friend west of him where it's really cold, and we're talking about 40 below wind chills at this point. In the location where this fellow was, and he had something like 450 cow-calf numbers, and you know, it's just gonna be a terrible winter. And he, you know, both of them were talking about how there's gonna be substantial death loss this next weekend, because you just can't keep up on it given the cold, and there's just not enough hours in the day. So yeah, it's really tough. And you know, I was writing to clients that it seems a lot like 1978 to me as far as how cold we got so quickly and how there's so much snow now in the forecast for certain parts of the country. So we'll have to see. The weather models, I think, to the market and looking at the price action, Todd, I think the market is going to have to make a determination now with this weather pattern shift as to, well, maybe, and I was in this group, but maybe we will improve our moisture levels, and those La Nina bulls, as I would call them, who are looking for drought this spring, may have to pull the plug on their lungs. But now some of the private weather forecasters are saying this cold is going to stick around all the way into March. And, you know, the CPC came out with the La Nina update and said about a 60% likelihood that La Nina will go away in the spring. So there's still a lot of weather to trade here in the aftermath of a pretty rough week technically, and a USDA report that you didn't get the bull fed in terms of the demand side.
I know, because of commodity week yesterday, and I have not looked, and maybe you have it in front of you, on the weekly chart for soybeans. Did the lean option actually settle higher for the week? Do you know?
Looking at the weekly chart, you say?
Yeah.
Let's see here. The weekly chart is showing me that we have, Yeah, just a touch of a higher close on the weekly chart.
Yeah, we'll hear about that in Commodity Week, but and that was recorded yesterday, so we were just guessing. But
well, the interesting part about that is the divergence between beans and meal, because it was this week after the report that the meal was able to make a new February low on a monthly basis, and it came dangerously close to the January monthly low of 417.60. That's a number that's on my ledger right now as we go into next week's trade, is that meal January low. Because if we take that January low out, the Dease corn and November beans kind of look like a double top now in the charts after this last report and pre-report price action. And you just don't want to lose meal at this stage of the game, in my opinion.
And what are the problems with that? We have a NOPA crush out on Monday next week, I think, too?
Yes. I think the biggest problem is not just the USDA supply demand report not giving the corn bull what he needed, although I think there's a lot of questions that I still have unanswered in the USDA numbers globally. I think the big thing that happened late in the week was the Argentine government backtracking and reversing its decision on instituting that grain export tax. And since they're the number one meal exporter in the world, we saw a definitive change in the pork prices of the meal, the beans, and the corn, as I looked at them on Thursday and Friday versus what we had been trading. There was a big dip in the market. Argentina led that dip, and I think corn caught that negative wave as well. So I think this is where it goes back to, we're in the middle of February. We need South America to lead us higher in price, not lower.
Yeah, so and then you couple that with turning its attention to new crop in the Northern Hemisphere, particularly in the United States, and there starts to be some pressure in the marketplace, I suppose.
You are right around the corner of getting those fresh planted acreage numbers from the baseline and then the Agricultural Outlook Forum. So the impetus is on the bull right now. And I think this week proved that, because like meal, the corn was able to take out its 536.5 February low this week. And that was a big deal to me. So we really need to get back on the hard side of the upside next week to kind of insulate us as we get ready for USDA's fresh numbers.
You think that can happen?
I do, because the problem is we've still got $11 bushel beans in China's futures market. And so they're still double our price. We saw great export sales and great shipments. You know, that was the big thing that a lot of the bears out there were talking about on the demand side as far as rationing is, yeah, we've got great export sales, but where are the actual shipments at? And the shipments in corn were almost 1.6 million tons. That was up 57%. Beans were 2.2 million tons. That was up 13% from the prior week. So we've got really strong shipments. And then we had fresh export sales on Friday of corn to Guatemala and Costa Rica. And that kind of suggests to me, A, we're very competitive, and B, they're not buying South American product right now. And the question is, now that the Argentine government's done what it's done, do the Argentine producers have the supplies to sell it now that they've been given the green light to do it? That's where I think next week really comes in.
It's not just about having China buy it. When others are in, that's a good sign.
It is. And that also goes back to China being less likely to wash out. And that's what the big fear was right before the report came out.
What's your thought on livestock?
I think we're putting in a high in the hogs with the February going off the board. We've got a lot of disease premium in this market and pork export premium in this market. Lunar New Year is now upon us. Would not expect strong demand. Cattle, I'm also going to be looking at getting some summer hedges in place on this weather that we're hitting, because Friday was almost all about weather and the cattle feeder spread and the death loss potential. I'll watch the dress weights and maybe sell as early as next week if these dress weights don't keep climbing.
There in the plains, are farmers worried about their wheat crop?
Yes. West of Hutchinson, and as you get towards Hayes and then towards the Colorado border, I had a really good client send me a lot of pictures out that way this past week. There's no snow cover. He thinks he's lost some wheat because of the very strong winds from earlier this fall. And I think he'll tear a lot of wheat up and replant into either probably soybeans, maybe Milo, because of how dry it is out there. And the snow cover doesn't look that great for the model maps here going into the weekend. So west of Hutchinson, Wichita's got a blanket of snow. They're okay.
Hard to kill wheat, but it is possible, and seems like this has been a pretty tough winter. But it's really about the number of acres that are impacted? Smaller, larger number, do you think?
Well, that, I think it's going to be a smaller yield. I don't know if the acreage number goes down that much, Todd, but I think the big thing is we've had these genetics that have been able to tiller out with what has germinated. I question whether we've even got the germination at this stage.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Have a great weekend, sir.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzlo of GlobalComResearch.com. Just one quick note here that Monday is President's Day, and the CME Group in Chicago is closed. We will have a closing market report during that day, so stay tuned for that one. Again, no markets on Monday because of President's Day. Eric Snodgrass now joins us from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible to check in on the weather forecast. I had to move snow again. Gosh dang you. Eric, you know, that's the worst thing about being a weather guy.
Yeah.
Right?
We'll take it.
Yeah, but you know, these systems, they've kind of dipped a little further to the south, and there have been ice storms, and it's been really pretty ugly. Can you tell me about how all this happened?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Go back to February 4th, and we started to see the flow coming out of Siberia. So we call that cross-polar flow. It moved through the Canadian prairies first, where they are still seeing some overnight low temperatures that are down in the minus 50, that's right, minus 50 range. And the head of that cold air is butting up against some pretty warm air that's coming out of the Gulf. And it is just targeted from Texas to Kentucky, even all the way over to Washington, D.C., that line. So what we get is we get this shallow air mass undercutting warmer, more moisture-filled air above. And when it precipitates through that, you end up getting freezing rain, freezing drizzle, and sleet. And I'm sure you've all seen on the news lately just some of the horrific car accidents that have happened pretty far to the south, because that cold air is still advancing to the south. And unfortunately, we've not yet met the worst of it. So it's still coming through this Valentine's Day weekend, where our temperatures in the overnight hours are going to be in those negative single digits, maybe even colder than that here in the state of Illinois. And like you said, this weekend, even, we still have a couple more chances for those little pesky half inch to 1.5 inch snowfall events, especially as you go a little bit farther north of us here in Champaign.
Is that the end of the systems?
No, unfortunately, it's not. So just imagine you push all that cold air really far to the south. And then what happens is it butts up against the warmth of the Gulf of Mexico. And in atmospheric sciences, we call that a baroclinic zone. It's basically where you get your temperature lines and your pressure lines crisscrossing. And in a nutshell, that lets the atmosphere spin up big low pressure systems. So we're going to watch early next week for the first one on Monday to come out of like the Texas, Louisiana area and then head straight toward Ohio. And as that low goes in that direction, we could be on the backside of it and have a decent chance at seeing some bigger snowfall amounts, you know, more than just an inch and a half, maybe even a couple of inches out of that one, maybe even more. That's still in the works that we have a chance at seeing more than that. And then I'm watching another system next Thursday into Friday that's going to try to follow the same track. And they'll just be there until this cold air is gone.
Okay, so you've talked about going to the south. I'm wondering what you think about the ability of wheat to survive both the cold, and I guess it needs snow to do that.
Yeah, it does. And there's part of the winter wheat belt, especially in parts of Texas, Oklahoma, getting into western Kansas, Colorado, even into western Nebraska, where we don't have snow on the ground yet, and it won't be getting there and really until Sunday, Monday timeframe. So when we start to think about that, the concern is going to be, do the temperatures get down cold enough? Which, remember, in February and early March, anything below 0 to minus 5 degrees below zero is where we could do some real damage. And the answer is yes. They're going to get those temperatures down there for several hours before the snow comes in. Oh, and it's going to be windy in that region too. So I'm concerned that we could have some freeze injury to the winter wheat crop in that area. And we'll just have to keep a very close eye out on it to see if the damage is done.
I know it's the early part of February, but I did see some Texans planted corn. Is that a problematic area?
Yeah, it is, because some of the forecasts get the 4-inch soil temperatures down below freezing all the way to the Gulf Coast. And so therefore, the air temperatures are also going to be that cold, with the peak of the cold likely getting here Monday, Tuesday timeframe. So just imagine you got that corn in the ground down there, hoping like normal just to get an early crop going, and then Mother Nature smacks you with this, well, in some places, near record cold event.
So it's been cold from one end of the nation to the other, top to bottom, that mm-hmm. is. I'm wondering if you thought very much about what the spring season looks like, and if there are problems you've identified yet.
Well, here's some good news. I only think we have about another 10 days of this cold to deal with. Woo-hoo! And I do believe, yeah, by the end of the month, the pattern is currently set to relax. The polar vortex retreats. We have a better chance at going back toward normal, even mild conditions. And remember, as you get into March, we start off March cold, but by the end of it, we are hitting normal highs here in the low 50s. And so we're heading toward that springtime period. And the good news is the models want to let us, well, they want to put the groundhog in its place, actually, and really show that there's a better chance for some mild conditions moving forward. So then we start thinking about spring flooding, right? And the big thing I want to talk about there is that the headwaters of the Missouri, the headwaters of the Mississippi, so now we're talking about the Northern Plains and Upper Midwest, they're not right now in a place where if all that snow melted off, you'd get massive flooding. There's just not a lot of snow there. But, you know, as always, a big March or April system rolls through there and this whole narrative changes. But at this point, they're in a bit of a snow drought in the upper Midwest and the Northern Plains.
Update from South America before I let you go.
Yeah, so some new data that came out this morning looks over the next month, and it continues from the European model to keep Argentina favoring really dry conditions, while Brazil's northern and central and eastern growing areas continue to show up really, really wet. So I've now seen three separate model runs in a row over the last, over the last 12 days, they come out every 4 days, where we have seen that be the pattern. So my concern now becomes, is Argentina going to start to see, you know, deficits in rainfall at the wrong time? I mean, it's literally for them right now, like it would be for us in July and in August. And so we got to watch that carefully, because it could just be something that knocks back potential down there, you know, in Argentina. So there's still a weather story to be told out of South America as I get one crop out and put another one in Brazil and let one mature in Argentina.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Nutrien Ag Solutions and joined us on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.